Welcome, everybody. This is Arnaldo, your host of Tommy's Holiday Camp, every Friday night from 7 till 9 p.m. And we've got Molin Malakai in the studio right now. And Molin is the Chief Executive Officer of the Sonoma County Indian Health Project, amongst many hats and expertise. Hi, Molin.
Hi.
Good to have you back here for the POMO month again.
Glad to be back here, but also that was my former job as the executive director. So okay. I've been 3 years gone since there, but that was my former place.
You were there for quite a while, weren't you?
Yes, I was there for 17 years. Mm-hmm. It was a very small program when I went there. When I 17 years, we helped build it up to a better health program. So,
And what is the recipe for that success? It seems like we need that in our healthcare system.
The recipe for success is actually including all the professionals in developing the program. And so everybody was involved in the ideas of expanding and making it grow. So that was the success, is including everybody in the decision-making and helping make the decisions that they want to help. So that's what's important.
So the actual people who actually work in the system and use it.
Then. Yeah, all the doctors and dentists and all the people who are actually providers in the clinic, they're the ones that help design the program to make it go.
Amazing. It can be done then.
Yeah. So when I came, they were only making like $400,000 in third-party money. And so when I left, they were making like $11 million in third-party money. That's a good way to say that we've progressed from a small to a very large program.
Wow. And that is phenomenal. And what type of programs were people now being availing of?
Well, it's a comprehensive program, including medical, dental, pharmacy, community health, and behavior health. And we also have seniors, so a senior health program also. So it's a comprehensive program that involves all aspects of medical care.
Wow, that's wonderful. We should have it, shouldn't we, Janie?
Yes, that's pretty impressive, Mullen, I must say. What exactly is third-party money?
Third-party money. Third-party is money that we make on the side. It might be thought of as insurance, collecting from insurance, or Medicaid, Medi-Cal. So it's money from insurances that make money, so to speak. Mm. It's money that the federal government only provide like $5 million. We provide, like $10 or $15 million ourselves from this other money that we get.
Oh, like in philanthropic groups and grants and things?
Well, we make it mostly from seeing patients.
Oh, just literally that?
There's a concept that the federal government has of providing health care to Indians. And so for us, it's over $300 per patient. And in most clinics, it's less than that. Hmm. And so because the federal government helped us with that added cost, we're able to see more money come in from our small clinic.
So how does that trail, that paper trail, work from the federal government down? Where is that meandering trail?
The meandering trail is very difficult.
Okay.
If you know the pill, you'd get the job.
Yeah.
So the federal government gives a small amount of money to each of the tribes. It's a kind of important how big a tribe is and how long they've been. In California, California has not been involved in health care since the 70s. And so in the 50s, they were eliminated in California from health care termination. As a matter of fact, they terminated Indians in California. Hmm. And so health care terminated. And so we got little or no health care for minors since the 70s. So we've been on the short end of growth in healthcare for us because of we weren't there long enough. And everyone else kind of conceived as California, the big state that has everything, all the monies. We don't need any money from anybody, but that's not the case. Matter of fact, there's a thing called ABC. any place but California. That's in that's Congress. So it goes to California. They don't think we need it.
But that's it, isn't it? It's that constant jostling for shrinking dollars, and that sets everyone up against each other.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. On a national scene, there is a big push to get more money from other states, but nobody wants to give up their money. And so it's all up to us to make our own money. And there's often been a push just recently from some people outside the government saying that since there are so many casinos around the USA, that the casinos should pay for the health care cost. Mm. And so they're trying to push for that amount of money, saying casinos make so much money, they should put money into it. But tribes have not been acceptable to that idea.
Yeah. Well, we saw what happened with the California lottery. That really helped the school system, didn't it? Yeah.
I was so in favor of that, but it didn't work out.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, it's also true that some casinos aren't really making money. Isn't that so? I mean, some do and some don't.
Yes. Some make a lot of money. Some don't make as much money. And, you know, it depends on the locality and how big it is. And so a few have closed, as a matter of fact. Ah. But in California, there are 61 casinos.
Mm. In the state.
In the state of California. So.
Wow. And how many are any many pending, do you know? What is the atmosphere now for granting more?
Not very good.
Okay.
Yeah, there's always a few pending. And it's healthcare here. I mean, casinos here. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people don't want to put a casino in this area anymore. And so...
Well, Graton had a big fight, I know.
Graton had a big fight. Windsor is having a big fight of going expanding their area, and they're saying they're going to put a casino there. They say they're not.
They say they're not. Yeah. I've heard that, too.
Yeah, they're not going to, but there's such resistance that the tribe may have the power to put a casino, and so that's
really
That seems to be it, isn't it? It's the fear that at some future point it can happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think it's likely to happen in Windsor?
No. Mm-hmm.
Because the agreement originally was that it would not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with the Graton one so close, I don't think the profitability would be there now.
Right.
And with Dry Creek just up the road.
Dry
as well.
Creek, of course.
Everybody
yeah.
says that, but I work for the Susanville Tribe up in Nevada, near Nevada, but in California, north of Reno. Mm-hmm. And I helped them put a casino in years ago. And I drove into Reno. If you drive from the north into Reno, and you see all the casinos, you say, look at all those casinos right side by side, but they still all make money. So why can't the California tribes do that? I mean,
I was just
in
up
a small area.
True.
I was just at Lake Tahoe, and there are casinos everywhere. Big, you know, Harrah's and all the other ones, one right next to the other. They appear to all be very busy and making a lot of money. We just walked through. I bet $1. $1
okay,
and lost
out.
It, so that was it.
Oh, my goodness.
It is amazing.
But, obviously, we can talk. Let me just play some music.
Okay.
But one of the things, obviously, about Indian issues over the last year since you were here for the POMO honoring month was Standing Rock. That was a huge issue, which let's talk about that and what the ripples of that have been. 8th annual POMO honoring month, some of the events that are happening, so we can get people get their pencils out and make notes of if they want to go see them.
The first event, having Mullen here and talking with you, Arnold.
Okay.
And then the next event is actually again here Sunday. This the day after tomorrow, Sunday, the POMO youth dancers will be at the Sebastopol gazebo at the farmers market, and they'll be dancing at 12:30. And
on Sunday, great.
Yeah, this coming Sunday. And that's always wonderful. It's just great when they do that.
I think that's where I first saw, I think 8 years ago, I think I must have been there when that first dance occurred. Uh-huh. I remember it vividly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's wonderful.
And so, yeah, then what else is coming
and
up?
And then following that, on the 13th, our theater group will be here doing pieces by Indian leaders, accompanied by Native flute, and one of whom actually is Mullen Malakay, a piece that he wrote for us. Then on the 30th of October, we'll be at the main library in Santa Rosa at 6 p.m. That's Monday night. And three speakers, Mullen, Rose, and Joe Salinas, who leads the dance troupe. And they'll be talking about various issues that Indians are dealing with today.
Well, and that is wonderful, and a nice spread of different things. And, well, a lot of people don't know there's Indians in Sonoma County.
Yes.
It may come as a surprise to them. Could you give a little background, Mullen, about...
Sure. The three groups that are here, the three tribes that are here in our county are the Pomos, the Miwoks, and the Wapos. Pomos, of course, are the greatest ones, and the Pomos had in the counties of Sonoma, Mendo, and Lake, there are 21 different rancherias, probably the largest group of groups of Pomos. And so there's five of them here in Sonoma County.
Hmm. And a rancheria, what is that as compared to a reservation?
A rancheria is the same thing as a reservation. The main difference is that at a reservation, it was a group of people that were put together as a group of people to go into one, I'll call it a reserve, for a place for them to go. And so the government kind of put a group of people, a tribe, a bigger tribe. And so our first one was down in Southern California. Rancherias, though, came later as the tribes in California were mixed. They weren't part of groups, but smaller groups. So there were tribes of people, a group of people, kind of a captain and his family, maybe 30 people. And so to provide space to them, they created these thing called rancheria, small rancheria with 90, 100 acres of land put together for those groups. So it was put together for families or groups. So that was the difference between a rancheria and a reservation. It was put together for individual families initially versus a tribe, a group of people for the reservation.
Right.
But for the most part today, a reservation and a rancheria have the same status, and they look pretty much like these days. Rancherias are generally smaller, 90, 100, somehow 300 more, but the reservations are much larger. Reservations also had a fort with it, probably a fort and a hospital and all those things, nature to a group of people. A rancheria just was, there's 30 acres for your people, go out and survive. And so that was the kind of the concept of it. But today, the rancheria and reservation are technically the same. And so in California, there are 111 of these rancherias, and about 54 are rancherias, and the others are reservations. So, and most of the reservations in California are south of Fresno. So reservations are only in the south. No rancherias in the south, just in the north.
Interesting. How that historical quirk or...
Yeah, so I grew up in the Upper Lake Rancheria. It was a small rancheria when we had no fire, no electricity, no water. So every morning I would go to the pump and bring water in every day, and it was my job to build a fire also.
Oh, wow.
So it's a total different way of life, that. And so I say that because I have just come back from Martha's Vineyard. And Martha's Vineyard is part of Massachusetts. And most people don't know it's an island 7 miles south of the Massachusetts mainland. But it's a very gorgeous place.
Right.
And it's a place where the Wampanoag Indian tribe lives. They're part of the villagers in there. And so they have a health program there, and I was asked to go and provide a health assessment of their health program. So I went there for a week, and they have a very good program. And the housing, I don't know if most people have seen Indian housing across in the U.S., and you would probably say Indian housing is very poor. Sticks and stones and sometimes cardboard and cars outside and junk. And if you've ever seen some reservation houses, they're very poor. Mm-hmm. And I've been to most reservations across the USA, and I've seen that kind of condition. But when I was in Wampanoag Land, there is luxury in the houses.
Oh, wow.
The houses are well built. There's green grass. I mean, if people have been to reservations, they know that most reservations don't have green grass around their house. In Wampanoag Land, there's green grass. There's no cars stalled or broken. There's no glass, no junk all around. It looks like real good housing. Matter of fact, I told the chairperson that that's the best housing in all of America that I've seen for housing. It just shows our the conditions of different places. And so they have a very unique program themselves. Most of their people live on the island, but a good portion live in five counties in Massachusetts also that trying to provide care to all their people in their state.
Well, so yeah, how is that... how did they achieve that type of level then of...
Well, they were always there. Those are the ones that brought the pilgrims. The pilgrims came. They were there in the first place.
Okay.
And so they had the entire island themselves. Mm. But since that time, the government has kind of taken over, and also those million-dollar houses.
Multi-million-dollar ones, I'm
yes,
sure, yeah.
They're multi-million-dollar houses that are there. Wow. You wouldn't believe it. But almost every house there is $1 million. The houses are just so well done. But so they had to fight themselves to have a health program there. And so it's nice that they have a little health program, and it can be improved greatly. And that's what the suggestions we had in the report to them, to help their program be a better program for their health members.
So is that what you're more doing now, is really consulting and helping people in that way?
In that way, yes. It's a lot better than just sitting at home watching...
the breaking news.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And, well, it's... Would these changes in the Obamacare, would that have ramifications to the Indian healthcare system?
Oh yes, great changes to it happened already, and so we were kind of expecting it to be cut back anyway. There was great anticipation of healthcare being cut. It hasn't been cut that great, but it has been cut in a lot of ways. One of the best programs that they have right now for the Indian Health Service is a diabetes program. Hmm. Diabetes is very big in the Indian country, so a lot of money has been put diabetes programs in place, and so that's on the block to be cut also. It is not reinforced that be in place, and so the almost all programs have something for diabetics, which is very important.
Well, that often goes to obviously lifestyle, diet and lifestyle. Diabetes seems to have a direct correlation with. How's that being approached to get those changes there?
Well, all the native foods that people used to eat were very nature, from natural growth. But now the foods that we ate are all sugar and flour that wasn't in the diet before. So those are the main aspects that are causing diabetics, and plus overeating these days,
right?
and traveling to the airport and traveling to out their country. I see there are many people who are very overweight, overweight, and so that's part of the problem in America. I just went to a store just recently, just happened to check. I always tell the belt buckles of men. And it's way below their belly. Their belly's sticking out. And that's probably the problem. And so we weren't accustomed to having the kind of foods that we had before. And so that's part of the problem. I had relatives for me that lived 105, 107 mm-hmm. years old wow. that didn't have McDonald's and didn't have yeah. the fast foods. They had that natural food. They lived a long time because of that. Mm-hmm. So these days, though, it's not the case. And so part of our job is to try to educate people, meet and reach better.
Right. Indeed, that's so much is preventable, isn't it?
And that's mainly type 2 diabetes you're speaking
type
of.
Type 2, yes. Type 2, yes.
Adult onset.
Yes.
We always often dwell on sort of the more somber side of, problems. But what is the cultural growth in Indian nations? What are they seeing? Are they seeing the environment? Where are they moving towards, and what are they spending their time on?
It's very interesting to me to see the nature of Indians today. Because that's why, in my day, there wasn't as much emphasis on environment and doing a lot. They didn't have any money, so they couldn't put any money to any political programs. But now, because of gaming and a lot of specs, they are able to put money into programs. And they're being much more political. Many of our own people are doctors, they're lawyers. So they can represent the people in a different way. And so mm-hmm. and there has been a resurgence, not only in our county, but all over, to rectify languages, because the biggest mm-hmm. part of culture is the language itself, being able to speak the language. I'm 73 years old, and when I was growing up, my parents and the family spoke our Pomo language quite frequently, but they didn't teach it to me, because at that time, being an Indian was not a very good thing to be. And so to have Indian language went to England, so they didn't want me to have it. And so I learned very few words of it, but the language. So a lot of groups around the country and in California and all over are teaching the children the language. Mm. And most of all, the progressive has been the dance. I know in my time, there weren't that many dance groups, but today, kind of in our area, there were like 21 dance groups, but weren't there before. And so teaching the children the dance and the culture of Indianness is a thing that's growing totally. So that growth has grown. In my day, there weren't too many college grads, but today there are hundreds of college grads, and not only bachelors, but also masters and PhDs and all the other professions. So they're growing readily in that area of education and making progress in that respect. So they're taking on environment, and they're taking on water, and they're taking all those issues that are preventing us from going land, because, they always want to take our land, take our fishing. We've always been a problem. Even stuff always been a problem to the
right.
to the world.
Excuse
me. They try to get rid of us in many ways, and right. but we're still here. I would say that all those people who died in my place made it so I can be here, and all those people are here to stand up for what mm-hmm. we can stand for today. And so that's happening. That growth is happening not only in our county, but in all of America itself.
And how do the, local politicians view you, the county supervisors, and how are they interacting with the various tribes?
Well, they seem to interact pretty well. I know that the Litton tribe has gotten a little help. Great tribe has gotten a little help. But, when you speak about Indian and speak about casinos, that's always kind of a push not to do anything. But they've gotten a lot of support in that area. And Kashai has gotten a lot of land recently on the coast that weren't there before. It's because of, the politicians helping out. So there has been some support in that area.
Oh, interesting. So there is movement. That's in that respect, with our local ones don't ignore the situation, in other words.
Yeah.
Now, we're speaking with Molin Malakai, and Molin has had an illustrious career in the Indian health system and creating it and moving it along, obviously, with many years.
When we first came in, Molin, you were talking about a program up north that you were involved with starting?
Well, that was Santa Ynez. That's a south.
South,
yeah. And so that was the Santa Ynez Reservation, which is in Southern California. And so I helped, they were trying to get put together a health program. So I helped put together a health program. I got them a facility. And it was a really small facility at first, but they grew into a facility. They have since acquired gaming. So they're not very rich area, so they have a very wealthy area, and so their health program has grown since I saw it initially. Mm-hmm. So they have a very good health program too. Mm-hmm. And so it helps the program people in that San Ynez area.
Right.
So it's that same area that Michael Jackson had his little house there, in that same area.
This Neverland, you
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
Same area.
Right, I'd heard of that name before. Maybe that was it.
From that to, yeah, a lot of grapes are growing in that area now, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are Indian tribes getting involved in grapes? Is that a...
Somebody is.
Yeah, there is actually. The Dry Creek tribe is getting involved in grapes, and also the Litton tribe is growing in grapes. Mm. And all in Southern California, a lot of tribes are going into grapes, yes.
And, of course, the other one, obviously, that's coming up January the 1st is the recreational use of marijuana. What is, I know up north of here there's been, a tribe was trying to grow, be a major grower, but what is...
Well, the conflict of that area of having that on is the federal government has said it's all right for the tribe to grow and manufacture that for medical reasons. And so they gave a dictate saying tribes can do it.
Hmm.
But the state has not said that they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, a reservation is still in the state of California, not part of it technically, but the state people think that's a part of it. So in that particular case, I was involved with the tribe. They had a big place of land where they had the marijuana growing, and the sheriffs came and said, you can't do that in our county. And they said, no, we're not in your county. I said, yes, you are. And so the sheriff pulled it out.
Wow.
And the tribe was kind of fighting it, but the tribe gave up on that idea. But there are other tribes in the state that are doing it already, and other tribes around the country that are doing it already.
Well, it gets complicated, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome back with Molin Malakai and Janie Hirsch, and we are discussing and talking about the POMO Honoring Month, which is this month. Janie?
Yes, and there's one more item I really should have mentioned, which is that there's a new permanent exhibit called Batik Lakawi Was Here, which is Sebastopol, in the West County Museum here in town at 261 South Main Street. And the museum is open Thursday to Sunday, every weekend from 1 to 4. And so the POMO exhibit there is really very fine and worth going into the museum for to check out. So the Steel Depot.
How long is it going to be there for?
Well, it's a permanent exhibit now.
Oh.
It started out in connection with POMO Honoring Month, and now it has its own space there in the museum.
Beautiful.
Yeah, across from the Sebastopol Post Office.
So, yeah, so the next... how do people find out more about all the events?
Funny you should ask. POMO Honoring Month is on Facebook. And it's a POMO project of Sebastopol. There is also a GoFundMe account for the POMO Honoring Project. I guess it's okay to mention that.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? All right, great. Well, Rose has gotten that going, and it's really helped quite a bit in promoting the events to honor the POMO Indian people every October. So, and anyone who's interested in being part of this process, please feel free to contact us through Facebook, I guess, would be the best way. And we're always open to having new people to connect with.
We're talking about Indian issues, and Molin, what are some of the ones that are really top of the list for you?
Well, one of the ones that's important to me is disenfranchising tribal members from the tribe.
Yeah.
This is a big aspect that's helping just recently in the last few years, where tribes are determining from their own membership roles, eliding or deleting people from the roles, hundreds of people from the roles, saying that they're not part of the roles anymore. And I remember working in California in the 70s, there was a big push to put people on the roles to make the tribes bigger. But now, since the advent, and I have to say, Casino has said that we don't want many people on our roles anymore.
Why is that?
And so there's a big push, and so it's over 2,000 people who have been disenrolled from the California tribes only, tribes that have been disenrolled. So that's a big deal, because that means to them that they don't have all the benefits of being an Indian. So in many cases, Indian scholarships that are to Indians, they've had to disenroll those. People who have had housing have gotten kicked out of their housing because they're no longer a member. It's a bad aspect saying that you can't be an Indian anymore. And so it's in healthcare, there's an exception, and it only pertains to California, where it says if you are an Indian who has a person who was on the roll from 1850, there's that seven roles that were taken, if you can prove you have Indian delineation from one of those, you're considered an Indian. It doesn't matter how much Indian blood you have. Are you a delineant from that person? If you are, there's a law that was passed in 1984 said, if you are an Indian person from one of those tribes, you're considered an Indian for health care in California. So the tribe may have kicked you off of the roll, so you may not have a roll number. You may not go over to the tribe. But for health care, the person can go to the health program and get health care as they're an Indian, even though they're not an Indian.
They're in limbo, basically, isn't it? So now, what type of reasons are there given for being kicked out?
You mean the official?
The official reasons or the unofficial,
A lot of tribes say that the person who put you on, they weren't a member. Somehow they came on. And so this kind of ascribes to that thing before. So in the rancherias, they had a crack line, it's like 90 acres for 40 people. If you had 90 acres, go live on it. But if a person came along later and says, I'm an Indian, but I don't have a tribe, the BIA said, go ahead and get a piece of that 90 acres and stay there. So they weren't a member of that family, but they're an Indian anyway. So they came on. So a lot of our tribes are made up of different families. And there's been marriages between families.
Right.
And so in some cases, if you were a member of another tribe, you can't be on our tribe. So that's a definition. And so a lot of reasons, every reason in the book why they can't be a member, grandfather wasn't here, you didn't do this. And so they just, very good reasons, they kick them off. And they have suits. I've met one of my friends, he was a very good friend of mine. He started the rancheria in Northern California, Redding Rancheria.
Oh, yeah.
He started it, and he started the casino, started the tribe, and then he said, your grandmother doesn't have enough ADA to be in the tribe, so they kicked he and his whole family off.
Oh.
He went to a court, had to dig her up, and did the grave thing, and they showed the DNA and all that.
Oh, my goodness.
The tribe still wouldn't accept it, so that they got kicked out totally. And his daughter was a very good health administrator. She was running the program, one of the best programs in health there was. And because she got kicked out of the tribe, she wasn't an administrator anymore. And I know several people who have scholarships, but they took them out of school because they're no longer eligible for scholarships. And so
There, actually, I know at least one person who was a former tribal leader who got kicked out by the tribe, by his own cousin, actually.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
So it can be very personal.
That's a fine line there, obviously.
Mm, very
and very personal how it's done. And so if there were five of us in the family and they all came from the same father and mother, you'd think they'd be all the same people. Well, in some cases,
oh, <no.
laughs> there are two brothers or sisters that are kicked off and the others stay in.
Oh, no.
But they're the same blood. Oh. So I have my wife, she's from Fresno, and so she has a cousin that was 100% sure to be on the tribe. And they're very wealthy. When they would get money, they get hundreds of thousands of dollars per month.
Mm.
And so she tried to get on the tribe, and they said, no, you're not going to be on here. So, you know, when you say what reasons, it's all reasons and any reason why they do it.
Right.
Does the Bureau of Indian Affairs get involved at all in the disenrollment issues?
There's a famous case is the Indian Civil Rights Law. It's been made just for Indians and civil rights. And that was tested in Texas, and they said that the tribe has a total right to determine who their members are, who can be on the tribe. So the Bureau cannot
Hands
do anything
off.
To do it, because we tried many places to see that if the Bureau could do it, the Bureau won't do it, though, because of that civil rights case. And Congress was thinking of doing something for civil rights, but they never did.
And they're probably not likely to for a little while, I'm guessing.
That's right. In fact, they're trying to take land away, you know, already. And so,
reservation land?
Yeah.
Often I just thought of it. Is there a sort of a pecking order amongst tribes? Is there one that's sort of looked as more important than others? Is there that type of hierarchy? Or everyone thinks they're the top one?
They all think of the top one, but there's their pecking order. Kind of, if you look at the national tribes, the Oklahoma tribes are very prominent because in government,
the Oklahoma tribes,
yes,
like, was that the Creek Indians?
Well, a whole bunch of them that are there. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's from Oklahoma, they tend to get those Washington jobs, Washington D.C. jobs.
Oh,
Navajos are very important because they're one of the largest. Mm-hmm. Cherokees are very important; they're largest, and the Dakotas, because of where they are, they're very famous.
Mm.
And so our tribes are relatively small compared to theirs in California. Maybe, you know, 100 people in one case is 400, 300. So our tribes are fairly small and compared to those tribes. So they look down on us, but because our 61 gaming tribes are here, and they have very good money. That that picks them right up with the other tribes, because gaming does help in that respect.
Indeed, and well, that was always the thing, wasn't it? Purposeful poverty. Mm-hmm. Everything was kept, so at least there is an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I had a meeting to go with when Governor Brown was still. In Oakland, I had a meeting to go with a small bunch of tribes, and I wasn't a tribal leader himself, but they asked me to come. It's like 21 people giving a lot of money, and I was the only one not giving any, but when he got money from those people, I mean, they came to listen to him, and he has a very good memory. He remembers everywhere we went. The log cabin is number 4 that he went in, you know.
Wow.
So he had a very good.
He's gotten quite a bit of money from the tribes because of the casinos.
I don't say that to some, but he's been, you know, influential in that.
Well, he was influential in Grayton, I know, getting the ranch, the casino here.
Yeah,
I went to several meetings with the Board of Supervisors. Said, "Well, we basically didn't want to do it, but Governor Brown did."
Yeah,
and so there was that pecking order.
Okay.
Yes.
It all converged, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, now we're speaking with Molly Mollekay and also Janie Hirsch about the Pomo Honouring Month, this month of October, and also important other Indian issues. And now, apart from cultural things, Is there much move on, like, high tech or anything like that in those type of developments on reservations and rancherias? Are there
new Silicon Valleys?
Yeah, mini Silicon Valleys. Yeah, silicone teepees or whatever you'd call them.
Well, I was involved in a case where they're going to put telephone transmitters at a certain place that. And it was going to make a lot of money, actually more than casino money. Mm. And it was kind of a secret how it was being put together. But other groups heard about it and then have killed that idea, that technology there. There may be others going on, but I don't necessarily know about it. But I know that was a very big deal. Those telephone things there was going to be a big thing, but it never happened.
Mm. Because I'm sure, you know, I mean, on certain reservations, obviously, there's a lot of oil and gas exploration has come. But now I think, well, solar. There's been a lot of solar starting farms. So there's a movement that way, do you think?
Yeah, there's a movement, yes. Yes, there is. And not all areas, but there is an area, because there's the sun and wind, you know, there are a lot of areas in all over.
That's so important. I mean, just to get away from the fossil fuel dependence, so important because it's going to destroy the planet.
Well, exactly. And, well, jobs, obviously casinos give jobs. Do most of them go to people on...
Oh, yeah, the Dakotas, they had that thing in the Dakotas, a lot of people out there. And so, like the old days of the West, the whole kind of... catastrophe with a lot of people coming for jobs. Mm. That happens there, and that happened because they're making big money from that.
Are you right. Speaking of oil?
Or, yes.
Yeah, the whole fracking thing in the Dakota. Oh, yeah. But then it's, you know, well, you've studied this a bit because you were an engineer.
Oh, yes.
And you still are, actually.
Yeah. To my regret, knowing too much sometimes.
Knowing too much about these things.
Yeah.
Fracking and oil
exactly.
And so forth. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would never know you're an engineer.
Okay.
Besides being a radio engineer, that is.
Right.
But there is a huge mess kind of left behind afterwards. I mean, isn't that so?
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's a big piece of the problem right there.
Well, it's all about water, isn't it? Ultimately,
yes.
Wherever we are, it's about water.
Water.
I'm sure the Indian tribes, that obviously is the most sacred thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Very much so.
It's life.
And so how do they balance that? You know, obviously the extractive process, but and also the contamination.
There's a group in California that. Indians that are trying to attack that because that it is an area, and so it's it's an area that we have to fight against. But people are fighting for it because water is a big thing.
Maybe you can tell us something about Rose because she is a young woman, but a very important young woman.
Well,
in the county.
Mullen, I think, and Christine have known her longer than I have. But yes, Rose is 21 years old, and she. Does amazing things. She does a lot of things, including organizing the Indigenous Peoples Day, which is coming up next week on October 14th at Yakayama, right here in Forestville. And that'll be an all-day celebration. But she's done a lot with Indian youth and children as a teacher and mentor.
Hmm.
And Mullen, you've known her... quite a bit longer. You can probably say more than I certainly can, except I'm always very impressed by her work.
You know, since she's gone to school, she's gotten very more organized in what she used to be. So she's very organized in education and helps anybody who wants to get an education. And almost every program, she's involved in all cultural things. She's a dancer herself and promotes that heavily. And he's always gone every weekend to some far-off place doing dancing and promoting health and a culture of the Pomos. And so she's very good and well-respected. She'll be a very good leader in our area. You know, she's just a young girl, but she'll be a good leader in our area in the future.
What makes somebody a leader? Isn't that interesting? What makes them come forward and say, I can do this, you know?
Trump is the one.
There's an aberration, certainly.
Yes, everyone, please run. We know what you're not running away from it, but let's run. My goodness. In voting, what happens, what gets voted on in Indian reservations and rancherias, apart from expulsions of people?
Well, you know, a tribe is a government in and of itself. And so they have laws and regulations. Some people have even court systems. And so they have a very intricate knowledge of that. And so there is voting itself. The tribe to vote on the local rules and regulations for the tribe and for the leaders of the tribe. And so that's a very big part when there's a tribal election, a new leader to be elected. Because sometimes in a tribal election, the whole tribe gets put out, or a good portion of it put out, and it changes the tribe altogether. And so that happens quite a bit. So it's a very big push on reservations. I know I had a friend who was a Dakota person, and she lost the tribe election for the tribal chairman by 6 votes. Mm. And the 6 votes are people, her own people, that didn't come to vote.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Sounds rings a bell for 2016, I think, doesn't it, what happened?
One of the pieces we're going to be doing next week here on your show is about something very similar, a Modoc tribe, where the leader's own people really betrayed him to the white soldiers. There's that divide and conquer thing that sometimes happens, you know.
Yeah, there's not. there's a lot of things being pulled and pushed in the process, isn't there? It's not just a simple, oh, let's do this.
And really, it's been that way all along, hasn't it? I mean, with all the different laws and, you know, dissolving tribes, and no, this tribe can be a tribe, but this tribe can't be a tribe. and the all these different acts, the Dawes Act, where tribes were given little pieces of land, and then it's just so complicated, the history. The economics and the politics, and just hard to know what's real. Almost.
But again, you know, then we see, you know, just bringing it up to date with Puerto Rico, you can see the same thing, architecture happening again, isn't it? The disregard
for the people there.
Yeah, it just seems to keep coming through like that.
What was done to my people, the Irish, by your people, the English?
Oh yes.
Good thing we're in California, though.
Just throw potatoes at me.
Yeah, well, but there is always history of oppression, isn't there, by people who are stronger over people.
Well, that's, yeah, just like the statue thing. Where do you stop? Who wasn't an oppressor at some point?
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
Tricky thing. Well, we're back, and this is Arnaldo, and I hope you are finding this interesting, learning a little about the Indian tribes that are in this area and what is happening all over California, all over America, in fact, with Mola Mullakay and Janie Hirsch here. They are obviously part of the Pomo Honoring Month, which is October, and let's run through which ones they are before everyone forgets, coming right up.
The events yet to come, you mean?
Yeah, just coming up Sunday.
October 8th, the Pomo, Sonoma County Youth Pomo Dance Group will perform at no charge. All events are free and open, and they'll be at the gazebo at the Sebastopol Farmers Market this coming Sunday, performing at 12:30. Then ongoing is the exhibit at the museum, Batiklakawi was here. That's the Sonoma County, West County Museum on South Main Street in Sebastopol, across from the post office, the old depot. And that's open Thursday to Sunday, also free of charge from 1 to 4 p.m. Next Friday, we'll be back with you, Arnaldo.
Yes.
Doing a performance of short pieces by Native elders, accompanied by a Native American flute. And that'll be the American Dream Players. And one of the people we will be quoting is Mullen Malakay. Also some earlier Pomo elders from various times and places. And then the real big wrap-up event, and we really hope people will come to this, is Monday evening, October 30th. I know the next night is Halloween, but that's okay. Mullen, Rose Hammack, and Joe Salinas will be each speaking about contemporary cultural issues facing Indians. I know that Rose's topic will involve the prevalence of suicide among Indian youth, something that she has experienced firsthand with two friends, I think it strikes very close to home. Mullen, you might mention your topics, that will be, again, October 30th, 6 p.m., at the main library in Santa Rosa, the forum room at the downtown library on 2nd and E Streets.
Speaking on the aspect of mission. You know, we always think of the missions have brought some good things for California Indians, and my whole talk would be on that was a kind of a myth.
Big-time myth. Big myth.
And so it's a whole presentation, our presentation on that. And Joe Salinas will be talking about the culture of Native dance and grooming and an Indian religion.
So dance and grooming. What would you...
Putting together the whole outfit of a dance group, what the feathers mean, what all those things. He'll talk about how it's put together, the concept of religion and singing, and that whole thing is what he'll do. Tremendous job on that because he's a dancer himself, and so.
Okay.
In fact, he is the leader of the Pomo Youth Dance group that'll be here Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, at the farmers market.
Uh-huh.
Fabulous! That should be a lovely day for it. Actually, this Sunday should be perfect.
I just want to quickly say that for our group of actors and musicians to do this piece, to read these pieces. And on a regular basis, the Indian elders' quotes really has opened up a lot of feelings. And we've all experienced a lot of emotional, really, a lot of it is actually sorrow that things have gone the way they've gone over the last few centuries here.
But some commonality as well, perhaps?
Well, how it could have been, you know, and maybe eventually will be. But there's such eloquence and such sense of the sacredness of life in these pieces. It really touched all of us just to be doing this. It's quite a gift.
Yeah, I think everyone should go to these events. Very, very important. Very important to do. Keep supporting the Pomo Honoring Month.
Well, we always feel very fortunate to be here with you, Arnaldo. It's always wonderful.
My pleasure. I'd love to do that. And Mullen, have you got any vision for the future, or how do you see things happening apart from some of the crazy stuff out there we have no control of? But
vision for the future—that's pretty bright.
Yeah,
I see a lot of vision in the youth that are coming up. They're educated. And they're kind of going the right way. And that's my future, is that they'll continue to do what some of us have done in a better and more profound way than us. And I'd like to thank the Pomo group that put this thing together 8 years ago. And there's a lady named Sandy East Oak that helped put this together. And we're thankful to her for putting this thing together and making it happen. That first group that we saw 8 years ago, they're still dancing.
Oh.
Still dancing and putting
Wonderful.
It on. So,
Oh, that's important. So important, that continuity.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, and giving us just been here in a bat of an eyelid, basically, in terms of the Indian tribes, obviously, in the area.
Well, I'm just glad they'll continue to associate with us white folks.
Indeed. Thank you so much for coming in, Malachi and Janie Hirsch.
Oh, thank you.
And tune in next week for some more of Pomo Honoring Month. Whoa!